Shall we continue in our chapter, Romans chapter 11? Romans chapter 11, and we'll begin to read at verse 25. Romans 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. We have been looking in this chapter very definitely, I think, of God's ways, his mood. And this chapter is very important as to our relation to the knowledge of God. I know of no other chapter that will bring before us in a more plain, definite way God's movement and his ways with mankind, both in the past, present, and future. Most of it is prophetic. History, when we speak of the Bible, is God's dealings with man in the past, and there is some of that here. But when you come to prophecy, it's just a little more to it than the average person thinks. Really, when you come to prophecy, it is true that it's history foretold. That is, it's told out before it happens. But the prophecy also is for the present. And in 1 Corinthians 14, we very definitely have a prophecy mentioned there and what it does. And I think it's in the third verse. In that little portion there, don't turn to it now, I want your attention, but you can later on. The Apostle Paul very definitely says that he would rather speak five words with an understanding than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. And in speaking with your understanding, it has to do with prophecy, knowing God's ways and God's movement. And then he very definitely says, I would to God that you all prophesied, every last one of us. Not just preachers, but all of us would prophesy. And then he tells you what prophecy is for. It's for the edification of God's people. That means to build them up, doesn't it? That's very necessary. It's for our edification. And I want you to just look at it so that we get it in our minds and that I get it in mine too. Look at it in 1 Corinthians 14. I'll repent. We just read that God doesn't repent when it comes to his callings, but I'll repent and ask you to look. First of all, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3. When you prophesy, you see, you speak unto men to edification. That is, to build them up. And exhortation, that is, you recommend certain things to them. And this word is a beautiful word if you look at it. It's almost like the word paraclete, or to call one alongside of you and recommend certain things that you have required from the knowledge of God. And last of all, of course, prophecy is for comfort. So, you see, that word comfort, it means to console, have solace. Now, isn't that beautiful to get a hold of a word that is so beautiful as this? So, let me ask you tonight, are you a prophet? Do you prophesy? Are you and I able to seek to build up? Do we seek to build up one another? And are we able to exhort one another, recommend this and that and the other thing in the ways of God, the knowledge of God that we have learned? And then are we able to comfort? My, I think this last portion is so blessed, to be able to comfort one another. My, we read, comfort one another with these words. And to go to the hospital or to go to a sick home and to be able to comfort them by prophesying, by giving out some of the knowledge of God you have received. And my, what a blessing it is to comfort others with the comfort wherewith you have been comforted in the time of your need. So, this is what actually a prophecy is. And while it tells you and it gives you the ability to prophesy for the present, it also gives you to tell things that are to come. And it's only God that knows the future. But this chapter gives you the knowledge of God in his ways to a great degree. And it's a blessed chapter. I must say I have been saved now for, well, it won't be too many years till I'll be able to say 50 years. And I have never publicly from a platform in any way spoken on this chapter. Oh, I've gone through it in Bible reading time and time and time again. But to actually try to minister on it, I never have. And I've gotten real joy the last few weeks out of this chapter. Just to realize that this chapter contains the knowledge of God and his ways. Now, you see in the first verse that we read tonight, I will say from verses 25 to 27, I think we can see that Israel's salvation awaits the completion of the church. I believe we can see that in these verses 25 to 27. The first thing that the apostle tells us as to the knowledge of God in verse 25 is, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. The mystery in which way, the way that God is dealing with Israel and with the Gentiles, and how that he's going to bring in blessing for both. to the fullness of his great and loving heart. And he's saying here now, brethren, you know, most of his ministry here, he was talking just to the Gentiles. You'll notice in verse 13, if you'll retrace your steps just a little, he says, I speak to you Gentiles. And there, of course, he says, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. And he says, I magnify my office. But now, he's speaking to we brethren. And I think it's blessed to see this. And he's saying to we brethren, I want you to be acquainted with this secret. I want this mystery to be made known unto you. And I've got a good reason why I want to let you in on this secret. The reason for it is, I do not want you to be wise in your own conceit. Now, I understand that word. I know we often say, isn't he a conceited fellow? Did you ever hear that? My, he's a conceited. Even sometimes we'll say a rascal. I've often heard that said. Well, is it possible that brethren can be conceited? I believe it means to be proud. Another word would help. And here he says to you and I. And I love ministry from the Word of God that strikes me. Don't you? So often we say, oh, I wish so-and-so would have been there tonight. Boy, he'd have got it. That was for him, but he wasn't there. Well, thank God that the Word of God is for you and I. And here we can very definitely say that it is for me because I'm one of the brethren. All ye brethren, as I look at you who are saved and born again, born from above, you're brethren, and one is your Father in heaven. Now, brethren, don't be conceited. What? That's a word of exhortation, isn't it? I believe it is. And this is the secret. Blindness in heart, in verse 25. That is that this blindness is not a continual and a forever thing. It's partial and it is for a while, and it's in part. Not all of Israel is blind, but it happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now there are two little phrases in our Bible, and I know God wants you and I to know this. And here it is, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. There's another phrase in Luke's Gospel, and it speaks of the times of the Gentiles. And we ought to be able to differentiate between these two little phrases. Now, the times of the Gentiles began away back there with Nebuchadnezzar. You remember when he had that dream? Oh, he had a dream, and he was going to put his princes to death if they couldn't interpret it. And they called on that man Daniel, didn't they? And you remember how Daniel told and explained his dream? He said, why, you saw an image, and it had a head of gold, and it had a breast, and arms of silver. It had a belly and thighs of brass, and that image had legs of iron, and down in the feet there was a mixture of iron and what? Clay. And this great image that he saw in his dream was nothing more than the times of the Gentiles, the various kingdoms. There seems to be a diminishing as you go down. First of all, it was a head of gold, and Nebuchadnezzar was that great ruler and king, the head of gold. And then the The preceding kingdoms, they seem to be just a little weaker as they go on down, but when you get to the lake, there you have the iron, of course, and iron is very strong. And I'm not going to try to tell you now just which empire this and that one was, but iron seems to be very strong. But I worked in the foundry and pattern shop for 47 years, and let me tell you, you can't mix iron and clay. My, how we would in the foundry. We would skim off all of the clay that might be in the iron. It couldn't be in there because it would cause it to crumble. And so you find at last the times of the Gentiles are in a crumbling condition. And you remember that Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, very definitely he said, there's going to be a stone cut out with hands. It's going to strike the feet, and it'll mash the whole thing to pieces. That's the times of the Gentiles. Now, I do believe that this is one of the things that the Apostle Paul doesn't want you and I to become conceited about. The dazzling glory of the Gentiles, even of our day, from Nebuchadnezzar's day on down. It's marvelous how man has sought out many inventions and the progression and the developments that they've made. But bless your soul, what is facing us and facing us soon is the smashing of the iron and the clay. And the great image, the times of the Gentiles, is going to be completed. But, oh, I like the fullness of the Gentiles. And that's what the Apostle Paul here is emphasizing, the fullness of the Gentiles. And what does that mean? God, at this very moment, He has put us into tremendous place of blessing, the Gentiles throughout the world. And He's taking out of the Gentiles a people for His what? Name. Isn't that marvelous? But the time of the fullness of the Gentiles is going to take place. The completion of the church is going to take place. And there will not be this invitation, this liberty, this great privilege any longer extended to the Gentiles. In this dispensation, we'll be cut off at the end of it. And the consummation of it is, I believe, the rapture of the church to heaven. And mark you, these things could happen at any moment. We're all the way down from the head of the image down to the feet and to the toes. It's later than you think. Oh, brethren, sisters, we oughtn't to be dilly-dallying. It's later than you think. And then look what it says here. In verse 26, in verse 25, first, the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Don't you love that? The fullness of the Gentiles will come in. And you know what that means? That means a door will open in heaven. Our brother this morning read about it in Revelation chapter 4. And we're going to hear the voice. These people that the God has taken out of the Gentiles, the people for His name, the door is going to be opened in heaven. It might be tonight. I don't know. And we're going to hear His voice come up hither. And I'll show you things to come. Boy, that's prophecy, isn't it? Huh? That's learning more of God's ways. And I'm waiting for that time, aren't you? Oh, my, the hope of the church. And the Apostle John, one who leaned on Jesus' breast, who knew something of His heartbeat, said, He that hath this hope in Him does what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I don't know anything that will purify your life and mine more than this, that he may come, and he may come at this very moment. Dear Dr. Mumon, I knew him so well, the first president of our Bible conference here. He used to sit, he lived just two blocks from me, and he'd sit at the window reading his Bible, and you could hear him say, in his advanced years, perhaps today, perhaps today. Oh, is it that precious to you? And is it that imminent that you're looking for it at this very moment? Oh, that's the hope of the church. And then we're going to go in, as we read here. Go in. And then we're going to look upon that awful storm that will break upon Gentile world power, that awful storm. But we'll see it in resurrection height, in ascension glory. We'll behold the storm. But notice in verse 26, there's a coming out. Verse 36 says, all Israel shall be saved as it is written, and there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Oh, I love this. I love that song if it's put in its proper perspective. The King is coming. The King is coming. And he's coming out of Zion. If you go over and visit Jerusalem today, the very highest mountain up there, they call it Mount Zion. And I believe that sometimes in the scriptures, it speaks of the highest height. And I believe it speaks of heaven. And the Lord Jesus, who calls us in, is coming out. That's simple, isn't it? And God says, I want you to know these things. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to know God's ways. And he's coming out. And oh, I love to see the King coming, don't you? In all of the dignity, grandeur, and glory of his person. Oh, think of that one coming out of heaven. Notice just how he's coming out. And it's so precious to read it. And I want you to look at it with me. Revelation chapter 9. Heaven is opened again for the deliverer to come out in verse 11. And John says, heaven is opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Oh, I love that. Are you faithful and true? This is what God wants of you and I more than anything else. It's not so much your works that you might boast in, but he wants you and I to be faithful. Faithful and true. We used to sing it. True-hearted, full-hearted, faithful, and loyal. This is what the Lord wants of you and I. I'm telling you my ways. And I want you to be faithful and true. And here's the one who is faithful and true in all of his ways. He came into this world to do the Father's will. And lo, I come to do thy will, O my God. And what does he want of you and I while we wait for him? He wants you and I to be faithful and true. To have God working in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And here he is, faithful and true, and in righteousness. Oh, we've been brought to God in righteousness through the bloodshedding and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the righteous one, and he does come to judge and make war. And his eyes as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And notice the armies which were in heaven follow him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth proceeds a sharp sword, that with it he should, what? Smite the nation. And he's going to be the stone cut out without hands, and he's going to smite them right in the feet, right in the very foundation upon which they stand, and he's going to crumble them, and he's going to rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and of the wrath of Almighty God. His vesture dipped in blood, and on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, come in, and then come out. Isn't it a blessed thing to come out with him? Huh? Oh, aren't you looking forward to that? I'm not looking just for the rapture. Bless your soul, I'm looking for the coming out. I often read of ladies in their coming out gown. Well, you know there's a time when we're coming out of heaven. And we're following this majestic person. And we're following him. And we'll be with him. When we are raptured to heaven, we are to comfort each one another with these words even before we go up into heaven, that we shall be forever with the Lord. No separation. And when he comes out, the armies of heaven come out with him. Oh, what a time that will be. I love that song. I wish I could sing it. I would do it with all the power that is in it. The King is coming. He's coming. Oh, what a time that is prepared for those. No wonder the Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. But he's revealing these things to us by his Spirit. And the Apostle Paul says, I want you to have a knowledge of God, and I want you to know his ways. Well, what a chapter. What a chapter. Going in and coming out. And notice in verse 27 it says, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sin. God has made a covenant with Israel. He never made a covenant with the Gentile nation or for you or I. But here's a covenant that he made definitely with Israel. And he's going to take away their sin. And what a day it will be when all Israel shall be saved. All 12 tribes shall be saved. Sins forgiven. Righteousness covering the earth as the waters covers the sea. My, look up. It's no wonder we're told to look up. The King is coming. Well, now he goes back. And for the moment he says, as concerning the gospel, for the moment, for the time that we're now living in, for the present, but it's prophecy.